Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the Spodcasters. I am Matt Tate, and I am Matt Tate joined by Benton Smith. I'm not just Matt Tate today.
I'm glad you've already said your name three times.
Three times, you're
like
right.
5 seconds into the podcast, just so that's brand recognition.
Somebody bet me I couldn't do it. That's the last bet they'll ever make with
they
me.
They said it couldn't be
that's
done.
That's right. Again, Matt Tate here with Benton Smith, and Benton, we're going to talk KU basketball today because it's the heart of KU basketball season. But more specifically, what it is we're a third of the way through the Big 12 schedule now. Mm-hmm. 6 games in, and KU has won all 6 games. They're 17-1 overall, as you all know, and they're ranked number 2 in the country on a 17-game winning streak. The question I want to address today is how many games do you think, or do we think, KU is going to lose by the end of the regular season? So 12 conference games left, and let's throw the Kentucky game out, because I'm not talking about that.
Like, right, that's a whole other animal.
Right, it is, yeah, unto itself.
Yeah.
But I just want to talk the second two-thirds of that conference schedule, the next 12 conference games. How many of them will KU lose? How many of them will they win? And will they win it? I mean, they're certainly in the driver's seat more than ever. I mean, there's some good teams in this conference, and KU is certainly not out of the woods as far as that goes. There's a lot of ball to be played, but they're in the driver's seat big time. They've already got 3 road wins in conference, so it looks like they're headed that way. But I don't know. That's what we're here to talk about. So first things first, I want to know, how many losses do you think they'll have in the Big 12? They're 6-0. How many are they going to lose?
I know. I think you and I don't remember if it was on a podcast or just like in general talking about this team, maybe like back in October, like before we'd seen anybody play.
Right. And right. Yeah. Because we didn't know Baylor.
Yeah. I think we both agreed that KU was going to win this league pretty easily.
Right.
Like no one else was going to be within shouting distance.
For sure. That's what we thought.
Yeah. But Baylor and West Virginia have looked a lot better than anyone anticipated, I think. And those are the other two teams that are in the mix, obviously,
yeah,
for knocking off Kansas. I don't think anybody else is going to be in that conversation. I don't foresee any other team in the Big 12, you know, going on a crazy 10-game winning streak.
Well, right. I mean, like if you look at the standings as they stand today, TCU, of all teams, is the only other team with just 2 losses.
Right, right.
Baylor and West Virginia both have lost 1. KU's undefeated so far. And then TCU has 2. But after that, everybody else has at least 3 right. losses already.
Iowa State 3 losses. K-State 3 losses. Texas Tech 3 losses. Some of those teams have only played 5 games.
Right.
Iowa State's played 6, obviously. Just played KU on Big Monday.
But right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a clear top 3 in this league.
Absolutely.
And so those are the 3 in discussion. I think Baylor and West Virginia, those road games for KU are 2 that you have to consider potential losses
right.
for Kansas. And they could also trip up at Kansas State.
Right.
I mean, you remember how close K-State played KU in the field house a couple weeks ago. And going to Oklahoma State, that's a place that Self's teams traditionally have kind of struggled. So I think that's in play too. So, I mean, I think 3 to 4 losses in the league is a pretty solid guess. And I don't know if they lose more than that, though.
Yeah, I don't either. In fact, the more I look at it, the more I kind of think 2.
Yeah.
And that's
at West Virginia.
Correct. I think they will lose that game. But it's hard for me to see them losing the revenge game, if you will, against West Virginia and Allen Fieldhouse. I think it could happen. West Virginia almost did it a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Keegan has talked a lot about how he thinks West Virginia will sweep KU this year,
right?
But they will tie for the Big 12 title.
Co-champs,
right? Yeah, which I don't know. I think it's a lot more likely, even with a West Virginia sweep, that West Virginia slips up somewhere else they shouldn't.
Right, that's what always bites these.
Which
other
they already
teams.
Have, right?
Yeah.
At Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's going to be easy for anyone, but
right.
that's one. If you want to win the league, you got to win that one. You got to win at home. I mean, it's the same old story every year. So I do think, yeah, I think at West Virginia is going to be really tough. And if they could win that one, which is Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's coming up real quick.
That's incredible. If they get out of there with a win somehow, then you're talking about a team that, I mean, you don't want to say they're going to go undefeated. The league's too good.
Right.
Even if there aren't challengers at the top beyond West Virginia and Baylor, those teams at the bottom can play, and they could get anybody on any given night. So it's hard to say, even entertain the thought of anybody going undefeated.
Even if KU wins at West Virginia, right, which is going to be the most difficult thing for them to do in the Big 12.
Right.
There's just so many games left, and like everybody is just good enough. And if you're playing in their venue and a couple guys get hot, I mean, who's to say KU doesn't lose to one of these teams that may not even be in the mix for the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Remember how poorly they played for that stretch at Oklahoma?
Right.
Oklahoma might be the worst team in the league.
No question. And they were putting it on KU for the second part of that first half, and then obviously not after that. But I think West Virginia is probably, if we were handicapping them, I think that's the toughest game on the schedule at West Virginia.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think at K-State might be right there. I mean, I think at K-State could be tougher than at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor's probably a better team. Certainly they've shown that they are so far. K-State impressed me, though. They're tougher than they have been. They have guards, they have length, they have versatility within that lineup, they have scores. I like that K-State team, so I think that's a tough game. They played Baylor once, right? Just recently.
Yeah.
And Baylor beat them in Manhattan.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that tells you, I guess Baylor is probably a better team for sure. But I don't know, there's something to be said about having a team's number, and KU sort of has Baylor's number and has had Baylor's number.
That's true.
For the most part, not exclusively. They've certainly lost their share to Baylor over the last several years, including the Big 12 tournament recently and things like that. But I just think that K-State game, I mean, with all the emotion and energy and they're going to want blood. They had a chance to win here, which would have been remarkable.
Yeah, K-State would have loved to beat Baylor when Baylor went to Manhattan, but it's just a whole different thing when KU and K-State play, especially at Bramlage, and you know, you have kind of that hatred from the fan base that we saw KU go through at Iowa State, but maybe even more intense.
It's hard to say. That was the most intense I've seen from Iowa State. I've seen them loud. I've seen that building crazy.
They were just angry.
Yeah, I've seen the Sprint Center full and excited and full of, you know, just quality fans pulling for their teams. But, yeah, Monday night was something else. I mean, it was pure venom. I mean, they were just angry. And I get it. I mean, it's got to be old and get old losing to the same team year after year. But Iowa State's beaten them. I mean, this isn't – they won two in a row in that building. Mm-hmm. It's not like KU's been pushing them around for years.
KU and Sprint Center a couple times the past few years.
Yeah. So that was strange for sure. But I think at West Virginia and at K-State, for some reason I feel like the stretch from Monday, February 13th to Saturday, February 18th, which is West Virginia at home and then at Baylor, I think that sets up really well for KU. Like I said, I don't see them losing the revenge game if they do lose at West Virginia. I think they get them back at home. It'll be tough. That's such a tough team, and that style is so nasty.
Right.
But I Kansas just doesn't lose at home. I mean,
they do seem more susceptible to losing at home this season.
They do.
In some years.
They definitely do. I mean, Oklahoma State made it tough.
Right.
K-State made it tough. Who else has made it tough so far? Texas Tech. That wasn't easy. It wasn't hard, but it wasn't easy. I mean, they played with them for a little while.
Right. They've never just like pummeled a team.
Yeah.
Still waiting. They've seen some, you know, quality type teams come into the Fieldhouse this year, and they haven't destroyed anybody.
No. Yeah. So what I like about that is I think they split with West Virginia, and then they get 4 days to prepare for Baylor on the road, and I think that's a huge advantage. I mean, if you had to play them on a Saturday, Monday turnaround type
thing,
I think Baylor at their place, all that. But that's not that crazy of an environment. It's not. It might be that night. I'm looking forward to it.
They have been better this year, I think. I think fans are kind of behind this team. And
that's weird. They're ranked number one.
Well, yeah,
people show up, right?
I know, but I mean, I think when I have turned them on TV, it does seem, you know, you kind of associate the Farrell Center with a place that maybe isn't always packed or isn't that loud. But
Farrell rhymes with sterile.
Right. But, when I've checked it out, they seem to be into it.
That's good.
They seem to be really behind this team.
Yeah, they've got good fans. I mean, the football is crazy, you know, so there's no question. And it's a big part of Waco and what they do in that area. So it makes sense. I've always thought they should support them a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it will be. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll be the toughest yet. But I just think having those few extra days to prepare. That's a great point. Should benefit KU tremendously.
You don't always get that in the Big 12.
No.
That's kind of rare that you get the 4 days, the Monday, Saturday.
Right, yeah. And KU gets it twice. After playing at Bramlage, they don't play again until that following Saturday against Texas Tech on the road. Another place, again, Texas Tech beat West Virginia there. Yeah. So that's a place you could see a slip up, but again, they get 4 days to prepare. I mean, that's serious business right there. So I have a feeling they're going to win that back-to-back West Virginia at home at Baylor. And then after that, you finish with TCU at home, at Texas, Oklahoma at home, and at Oklahoma State. And I agree with you 100% that Stillwater has been a tough place for KU to play. But I thought Oklahoma State played maybe as well as it could play the other day at Allen Fieldhouse, and they still didn't win. So
yeah, I could just see Evans hitting more shots. I could some more threes falling for Forte, and
he didn't even shoot that many.
No, he really didn't. KU did a pretty good job.
Self mentioned that in the post game that Graham did a great job on him, and that's a big advantage. He's got the length and size. That's tough to get those shots off. Now, Forte's a guy that he's shown he's not afraid to shoot from 30 feet.
Right.
And has that range. It's not even forced when he does, but, you know, that's not probably the shot you want every time down. So
right.
Good for him for laying off of it a little bit and not forcing those up just to get his shots up. But that's a tough game. And two things you have to consider about that. That's the regular season finale. It's on March 4th, a Saturday. And I stand corrected. They get a third shot at it there because they play Monday before again. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they'll have 4 days to prepare for Oklahoma State on the road, too. That's a favorable schedule. I mean, there are plenty of Saturday Mondays in there, too, but that's what you get. By playing the Saturday Monday, then sometimes you don't have to play again until the following Saturday. So, anyway, I think the two things you need to remember about that game, number one, it could mean something.
Right.
I mean, let's say KU needs that win to win the Big 12, maybe outright.
Yeah.
It's hard to see them needing that win for a tie, but maybe even that. But certainly even outright. I mean, this is not a team that wants to share. They've talked a lot about that in recent years. They don't want to share that. So if they have to win that game for a reason, if it means something, that's a factor. If it means something in terms of seeding, postseason-wise, that could be a factor there, too. So I think that's a more dangerous game if you play it February 12th or something like that.
Sure.
As opposed to March 4th, final game of the regular season, where you know, or at least may know, what's on the line or what could be at stake. So I don't see them losing that one.
What if they've already clinched the league outright?
Could be a problem.
And then go to Oklahoma State.
That could hurt my argument. They could lose by 50. No, I don't think they'd ever lose to anybody by 50. No. But I do think that's a factor. You're right. I mean, the rest of this conference is so good, and they're going to beat up on each other all along the way, that it could happen. I mean, Baylor could have four losses by then very easily. I mean, they play Kansas twice, so... you're looking at a team with one loss. If KU sweeps them, that's three, and all they'd have to do is lose to somebody else.
Yeah, just one other loss.
And that would be four losses, and we're talking right here about maybe KU only having two or three. So you're right, it could be over by then, too. So that could be a factor, but that's where that seeding may come into play, too.
Yeah, I mean, right. NCAA tournament
seeding. Exactly right. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if you made me bet, I would probably bet equal amounts of money on 2 and 3 right now. I think you're right. 4 is a possibility. There's some good teams and tough games. I mean, the at Texas Tech is not necessarily easy. The both games with Baylor, both games with West Virginia. I mean, that's 5 right there that won't be easy. At Oklahoma State's a 6th. At K-State's a 7th. So none of them are easy. But this team just is playing so well and finding ways to win, and the thing about it is I think they're finding ways to win, and they still have a lot of improvement that they can make. I mean, if they get better defensively, you wrote a great story after the Iowa State game about talking about how KU's trying to find ways to defend the paint. If you guys haven't read that, check it out. It was from you posted it Monday. Or did it go up Tuesday?
Oh, this would have been Saturday after the Oklahoma State
game. Oh, that one? Okay. Yeah, that's right. My bad. That was after that game. Either way, it talked about KU trying to get creative with its limited roster and finding ways to defend the paint and just play defense without a traditional lineup that Bill Self's used to having. So
right.
I think that's I don't even know where I was going now. I rambled on. Just begging people to read your story.
And I appreciate that about you.
It was good. It was good. But, I think, you know, the point is that this team, if they get better defensively, they could be even better than we've seen, and they've won 17 in a row and are 6-0 in the league. So I don't know if that's coming. I think they will work toward it. I think this is a team that wants to get better defensively. I think
that's probably their biggest issue, right?
For sure. Yeah, and I think
some people talk about depth, but seven's a pretty good number.
You know? They can do it with seven. Yeah, I mean they've done it in the past, both in like back in the 70s and as recent as 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's a non-factor.
That last Roy Williams team was what, like 60? Right?
Yeah, maybe so.
6 or 7.
Yeah, the team that lost to Syracuse?
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Lee was off the bench. Bryant Nash probably played a little off the bench.
So, yeah.
He played, you know, sort of I don't even know what kind of role you would compare him to. He played less than Vic. But not maybe 10 minutes a game. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, it's been done. And if you avoid injuries and you avoid foul trouble, mm-hmm. then it's no problems at all.
Right.
But I think they want to get better defensively, and I think that Self is going to demand it. He's going to continue to push those buttons and you know, really emphasize defense because he knows that's how you win and how you can really not guarantee, but increase your chances on any given night when the shots aren't falling. So if they find a way to get better defensively, then they're going to be a better team than we've seen because I don't think the offense is going to do anything but stay the same or improve. I mean, they're such a machine offensively in transition, behind the arc. They're just so, so gifted offensively. And I think that's probably been a little bit of the problem. I mean, I think that this team knows, the veterans know we should play defense. We should play defense. Coach likes defense. We got to get better defensively. But I think subconsciously and maybe even consciously, they know that if they just show up, they're good enough to outscore people.
Right.
And when you know that, it's hard to really care that much about defense because it's not any fun. I mean, it can be, but it's not nearly as fun as scoring and you know, making other defenses look silly. So if this team can improve at all over what we've seen for 18 games and 6 in the conference, then I think 2 is possible, if not better.
Yeah, and Bill Self has a way of just almost just imposing his will on a team and making them get better defensively, even though, like you mentioned, it's might be the last thing that someone wants to do. I mean, he's just going to, like, dog cuss them until they realize this is what we have to do. And I think right now, I just pulled this up. In 6 Big 12 games, their field goal percentage defense is 43.8.
Yeah.
So that's nowhere really near where Self wants it to be.
No, he likes 40. Below 40, yeah. Right.
So they've got a ways to go, and they've obviously got some time to get better defensively, figure out those rotations, figure out how to better defend pick and rolls and that sort of thing. And if they do that, you're going to see that improvement, and they become that much harder to
shoot.
And they're already unbeaten in the league.
Sure, yeah, and that's it. It's been the ball screen. It's been that pick and roll. I mean, the other teams are just killing them with that. And, you know, that's the most basic play in basketball.
Right.
But it's working, and it's working for a variety of reasons. But again, it's working, we say, and they have yet to lose since the opener against Indiana in a game they probably should have won anyway. So, and I think if they played Indiana again today, I think they'd beat them by 15.
Two teams kind of going in different directions. For at this
sure.
Point. Yeah.
So I think the only thing we haven't talked about this schedule, the remaining Big 12 schedule, is that one game that comes out of nowhere. A loss at TCU. Sometimes maybe that's been a little bit about the loss at Oklahoma State, like you talked about. But I don't know that that's happened so often now. I don't know that you can call that coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, anymore. Because especially for guys that are veterans, they've experienced losses at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
They know this is not an easy venue or an easy team to go in and beat.
Right. So the losses out of nowhere that remain would be, we touched on at Texas Tech just a little bit already. at Texas? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if somehow Shaka Smart gets his team playing much better a month from now,
right,
which he's capable of doing,
yeah,
he's a good coach.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll know a lot more about Texas following Saturday.
Right.
Because I haven't seen them much yet. I just read and see their results. And,
right.
And, struggling. You know, struggling is the right word for it. So, you know, that's a month from now, and maybe they are a different team. But again,
that'd be a team you could overlook, though,
at
that point.
It is, yeah, for sure. Other than that, you got TCU coming in here and Oklahoma coming in here and Iowa State coming in here. I mean, I don't think there's any way Iowa State wins. I mean,
no, they would just have to, like, nail 25
threes
or something,
right,
because they don't defend the paint well and they don't rebound well.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, again, the two West Virginia games, the two Baylor games, at K-State, at Oklahoma State, there's six tough games. The rest kind of fall into two tiers. The home games are probably very easy,
mm-hmm.
and then those road games, it's a matter of, do they show up, are they focused, and do they take care of business or not?
Do they avoid foul trouble
and
stuff like injuries, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at it, I just don't really see that game as maybe the one that comes out of nowhere. They already played at TCU. They already played at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, you get those out of the way and you win those road games. Those are huge in this conference, because I do think teams are going to lose at TCU and maybe even at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that West Virginia and Baylor will, but they certainly could. Baylor's lone loss is at West Virginia so far.
Right.
And West Virginia's loss is at Texas Tech.
Yeah. So those losses come on the road, obviously.
Right.
And KU knows that because, I mean, KU just wins at Allen Fieldhouse.
Right.
Obviously, they finish with at least a couple or three or four losses each year in the league. And
yeah.
They tend to come on the road.
So, anyway, 2-4 seems to be our sort of consensus.
Yeah.
Could you see 2, or is that crazy?
I think 2 would be pretty impressive,
yeah.
I think.
2's a 1 seed, easy, in the tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe the overall one.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think self emphasizes that as they get closer to the end of the regular season, the NCAA tournament seeding?
It's a great question, because publicly he would definitely say no.
Yeah.
And I tend to believe that, because I do think they're a very what's in front of you type of program.
Right.
What can we get better at today? What can we control today? So, you know, probably not, but it has to come up. It's human nature. They realize bracketology is out there. They know what's at stake. And to some degree, you want them to know what's at stake. You know, you want them to understand, hey, look, don't overlook Texas, because if we do, we could lose our seeding. And we don't want that to happen, you know. And especially this year with the new rule of the number one overall seed getting to choose its path, at least geographically,
mm-hmm.
that adds a wrinkle. That might make coaches emphasize it a little bit more that are in that position.
Yeah,
possibly.
And for KU, the Sprint Center is in play for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
Right, yeah, I mean, if they're a one seed, I think that'll be given, right? Don't you just pick your first round? For the first round
but
second round
site? I just meant, like you mentioned, if they trip up and lose some games that they shouldn't, that might, you know,
sure,
end up putting them in a different bracket where they wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, that would be catastrophic, because that's mm-hmm. too good to be true, having the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games 45 minutes from campus.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, I don't know, I think 2 would be really impressive. I agree with what you're saying there. I think it's possible, though. I think 3 is a safe bet and 4 is a safe bet, like you said. I can't see 5.
No, it doesn't look like it.
I mean, we just talked about the 6 toughest games. That would mean they lose 5 of those 6.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think.
Or even 4 of them and then one they don't expect.
Right. I think something unforeseen would probably have to happen, like an injury,
right.
a guy missing crucial games due to an injury, something like that.
Yeah, so somewhere in the 2-4 range, with 2 being A-plus material and 4 being, not bad.
And 3 would be pretty good, too.
3 would be probably a 1 seed again.
Yeah.
You'd be talking about 27-4 as a as an overall record.
And we don't know how the rest of the season's going to play out for Villanova and UCLA and, you know, some of these other teams chasing a 1 seed.
Sure.
So.
Sure. And that Kentucky game's huge too. We're not going to talk about it for wins and losses, cuz we're talking Big 12 here, but that's a seeding game for sure. I mean, if you can, if Kansas can find a way to win that, and I think there's something to be said for that too. That's sandwiched right in between at West Virginia and home against Baylor. You know, Somebody asked me this in one of the game day chats that I did, and it basically comes down to, I think that like you said, is sort of its own animal. The question I was asked is it too much? You know, do you think that will sort of be an emotionally draining stretch at West Virginia, at Kentucky, Baylor at home? And as much as I think that makes sense to ask that,
sure,
my position on it was, I don't think so, because I think Kentucky, that game sort of gives you a break. Even though it's at Kentucky,
yeah,
and not going to be easy against a talented team at their place,
right,
you can kind of go in there and play free and not worry about it. Because if you lose, big deal. You're not going to – it doesn't hurt you in the conference. It doesn't – you know, it's to a top five team. It's
mm-hmm.
it's nobody's going to be like, what an awful loss. I mean, you know, so you're almost playing with house money there.
Yeah.
I think that may allow them to have a little bit of a relaxed mind when they go in there, and no pressure. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, and I think they have the type of players that will be excited about getting a chance to play at Rupp Arena.
Big time.
Yeah.
I
mean, Frank Mason, Josh Jackson, Devontae Graham, those guys love playing in environments like that. And Self talked about that a little bit
after
the win at Iowa State.
Right.
And how that played a factor in them kind of holding Iowa State at bay for most of the
Yeah.
Obviously, Kentucky's better.
Well,
than
sure.
Iowa State.
Sure. But yeah, the building. The
I
mean, yeah, he talked about a lot of teams' road environments are not that great. KU's so used to playing in front of an amazing environment like Kansas.
They'll get that at Rupp for sure.
Yeah. Because
they'll be jacked for KU coming in there.
That'll be a great time.
Yeah.
A great game. Coming up, too. A week from Saturday. Hard to believe. But yeah, so, I mean, you know, you're talking about a team that's in... I mean, Self said it the other night after Iowa State. We're in a pretty good spot right now, I
mm-hmm.
think is what he said. And we just blabbed on for 25 minutes, mostly me, less of you. But we just talked a lot about all the ins and outs of that, and I think you could sum it up in that sentence right there that Self said, we're
right.
in a pretty good spot, because they are. They've put themselves in the driver's seat to win the conference again. They have some wiggle room, I think, and they're in position to make a run at another number one seed. What's better than those things happening around here, regular season-wise anyway?
Right.
And then you throw the ball in the air and see what happens in March. Any final thoughts on this schedule? I mean, it's crazy to me that we're approaching January 21st and already, you know, hitting February real quickly. And it's just, it feels like the season sort of just started, and here we are almost 20 games in.
I think for me, especially since Huggins has taken over at West Virginia, that game at West Virginia is always the most interesting regular season game for KU, because you know what kind of, you know, bizarre pressure you're going to face, and you know how difficult that environment is. And I think that's probably a good kind of litmus test to see exactly where this team is as far as its long-term ability to do something special down the road in March when the regular season is over.
Yeah.
If they go in there and win at West Virginia, that's super impressive. You
right.
know, if they go in there and lose by a bucket, you know, all right, this team is right there among the top five in the country. Or
yeah, and if they get blown out, which has happened.
Yeah, that's happened too.
That's why
it's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, then they got to respond right away, because at Kentucky is no punk.
Right.
And if you don't show up after that, you know, then you're talking about losing two in a row, and that almost never happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really, really interesting stuff. Just the way it all plays out, the way the schedule sets up, and I just think we're about to hit the fun time. I mean, it's been fun so far. It's been fun watching this team, because they're so different than any Kansas team in recent memory.
Right.
I mean, Self has had to play a different way, and he's been willing to do it. And just watching that four guard thing is so fun to watch. It's just different. So I think good stuff ahead. Lots of good stuff for Kansas, obviously, and we've got a lot planned here as well. For Benton Smith, I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Spodcasters. We'll talk to you guys very soon on another episode, and enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend.